from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hey listener, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will bring you first our news, followed by news from across Indonesia. Today in history, My Indonesia, news in brief. We continue Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, and to conclude our program for today, we present you Music Corner. That was our program summary for today over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo to Assad KPK after Lebaran. Indonesia elected as non-permanent member of the UN Security Council. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has admitted that he will prepare time to accept Indonesian Corruption Eradication Commission KPK after Idul Fitri. This was affirmed in response to the KPK request to meet and submit a report related to the discussion of the draft of the criminal law. The president also said that the government has discussed matters related to the discussion of the draft of the criminal law at the level of the coordinating minister for political, legal, and security affairs, but President Joko Widodo will still receive the KPK after Idul Fitri. I prefer a special time for KPK, even though there has been a thought process in the coordinating minister for political, legal, and security affairs, because KPK wants to meet years later after Lebaran, I will set it. Previously, the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK sent a letter to the President regarding the rejection of the inclusion of articles of corruption in the draft of criminal law. The KPK believes that the entry of the specific criminal offenses, including corruption in the draft of criminal law, could weaken the Commission. Currently, the KPK rejection letter is still being studied by the government through the coordinating minister for political, legal, and security affairs. Nevertheless, President Joko Widodo some time ago expressed his commitment to keep strengthening the KPK. Indonesia is officially elected as non-permanent member of the United Nations Council for the 2019-2020 period, representing the Asia-Pacific region. The vote was held at the UN General Assembly in New York, United States of America on Friday. Indonesia won the election by 144 votes of the total 190 UN member states, defeating Maldives that only seized 46 votes. Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi through a live streaming from the United Nations through webtp.un.org/countries. On the same occasion, she also expressed her gratitude to all UN member states for the trust given to Indonesia in the UN Security Council.
Indonesia is honored to be elected as non-permanent member of the United Nations Security Council for the term 2019-2020 with 144 votes. It was a privilege to have run for the candidacy with our good friends Maldives. On behalf of the government and the people of the Republic of Indonesia, allow me to express our deepest appreciation for all the generous support extended toward Indonesia's candidacy. I wish to extend my sincere gratitude to member states of the United Nations for trusting Indonesia to be your true partner.
Minister Retno Marsudi added that the trust given by UN member states is a recognition of Indonesian contribution to the world peace for decades. In addition, Indonesian election as a non-permanent member of the UN Security Council also strengthens Indonesian commitment to keep maintaining world peace and security. Indonesia had previously been a non-permanent member of the UN Security Council for 3 periods, in 1973, 1974, 1995, 1996, and 2007-2008. The UN Security Council is comprised of 15 member states, considered 5 veto member states, the US, Russia, China, Britain, and France, and 10 non-permanent members elected for 2-year period. Indonesia must carry out 5 agendas for being elected as non-permanent members of the UN Security Council for the term of office 2019-2020. This was affirmed by Professor of International Law at the University of Indonesia, Hikmanto Juwana, in Jakarta on Friday. He details that firstly, Indonesia should be able to put an agenda related to the world peace and security issues. One of them is the effort to liberate Palestine and the protection of civilians in Palestine. Secondly, Indonesia should be able to bring out the regional agenda that has an impact on world peace and security. For example, interstate tension in South China Sea, protection of ethnic Rohingya and refugee problems from some Middle East countries. Third, Indonesia must bring out the agenda related to the war against terrorists. Fourth, Indonesia needs to discuss the phenomenon that has emerged lately related to the problem of intolerance. Finally, Indonesia needs to propose agendas related to the economic trade and investment issues that affect the peace and security of the world. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia and Malaysia and the Philippines will hold joint military exercise in Kalimantan Island in few weeks to come. The military exercise is to complete regional resilience which has agreed by the three countries. This was affirmed by Minister of Defense Ria Misharachudu to media journalists after releasing Go Home program for State Defense at Defense Minister Office in Jakarta on Friday. He said the military exercise is also to focus on pressure and localizing terrorists in a bid to be handled easily. The military joint exercise will be implemented after Idul Fitri. We are observing what the terrorists do and the training scene of the exercise is adjusted to the condition. The exercise will be carried out in Kalimantan. It is a trilateral exercise. Well-trained personnel are ready, so we will generalize the training. Meanwhile, spokesperson of Indonesian Defense Ministry Brigadier General Totok Sugiharto explained that in the military joint exercise, Indonesia will involve 3 special troops of Indonesian military. They are special troops from Indonesian Army, Navy, and Air Force. The Embassy of Republic of Indonesia in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia has an educational program for the children of Indonesian migrant workers who work in the fields, gardens, and factories. The program is called Community Learning Center, CLC. Indonesian Ambassador to Malaysia Rusdi Kirana said that this program provides an opportunity for school-aged children to get education. Encountered during the gathering and breaking the fast with the Association Setia Kawan Jurnalis Malaysia Indonesia, ISWAMI, in Ampan area on Friday evening, Ambassador Rusdi Kirana explained that he has just returned from Sarawak inaugurating several CLC programs. At the location, he pointed out that many children with the age 6 until 14 years cannot read and write. Thus, he hopes the new government of Malaysia can support the Indonesian embassy to open the CLC program in other areas.
Kalau di Sabah Sarawak diizinkan membuat CLC, Community Learning Center.
If in Sabah Sarawak is allowed to make Community Learning Center CLC, our teachers come from Indonesia, including the books. This is our hope for the new Malaysian government to get similar permit. Because for both Indonesia and Malaysia as a coordinate countries and nations, the children are eligible to get education access. Until now, Ambassador Rusdi said there are already more than 200 CLCs in Sabah region, while in Sarawak, the Indonesian embassy has just opened 52 units and will continue to grow. He added that the children of Indonesian migrant workers who join the CLC will be given a vocational program or education that leads to mastery of certain skill at the request of the landowners or factory owners, so later they can work directly and more independently. The release of the National Agency for Counterterrorism BNPT on Saipan University allegedly exposed to radicalization must be followed by increasing the deradicalization program. This was affirmed by an expert of modern Islamic thought of State Islam Institute of Islam, Palu, Central Sulawesi, Professor Zainal Abidin, in response to the BNPT release in Palu on Friday. He argues that what the intolerant groups like the extremists and radicalists have done to launch bomb terror to recruit or capture and expand their cadre is not the beginning of their struggle. This is an effort that has been built since long time ago. He added that based on tragedy of the Surabaya bombing incident involving children and several other events and cases of radicalization, this indicates that someone has been exposed to radicalization long before entering to the college. Such condition, Professor Sena Building proposed that BNPT conducts and improves the programs of radicalization starting from primary school level. The last item, education of the nation character for the young Indonesian need to be encouraged again a bit to be able to cope with radicalization that has infiltrated the level of university and other academic community. This was affirmed by Chairman of Wanadri, Andi Angga Kusuma, in a statement in Jakarta on Friday. He also remarked that the scouting movement itself have received special attention from the government in the early period of Indonesian independence because it was considered effective in fostering the spirit of nationalism among young people. Previously, the National Agency for Counterterrorism, BNPT, released at least 7 state universities that had been infiltrated with radicalism. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
News from across the country. Unique and interesting information from across Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to the weekly news from across the country, the segment which presents interesting information from various regions in a week. The first story comes from Manado. Public Works and People's Housing Office of Manado, North Sulawesi, began to construct a special line of ambulance and Manado Tanawangko Highway from Bahu to Malalayang. Head of Office of Public Works and People's Housing, Bart Asa, in Manado on Tuesday said that the office team has conducted mutual check zero to ensure the beginning condition of the location at the special ambulance line. The mutual check zero was conducted by the team on Tuesday to see the road. Bart Asa also said that the road construction will be done by the third party. He also added that the development has obtained official license from the National Road Implementation Center so that the development can be accelerated and will finish this year. Next story comes from Indragiri Hulu, Riau. Presidents of Indragiri Hulu Regency, Riau Province, found a historical site that allegedly is a relic of the Japanese colonial era in Taling Jerinjing Village, West Rangat District. The relics are in the form of 4 pillars of buildings and holes like cave. Eri Hasibuan, an expedition team member in Rangat on Tuesday, said that he initially received information from the community that in the forest near the central office of Indragiri Hulu region, there is a tower building of the Japanese relic, which was used as a means of communication. Then form a team of 5 people to search the object on Sunday. From the condition of the old and neglected building, it is believed that the building is a relic of the invaders because the construction unlike the Indonesian buildings. The last story comes from Yogyakarta. Gajah Mada Alumni Family Central Board, Alumni Family Association of Islamic University of Indonesia, and Yogyakarta Scout Movement launched Pancasila Month activities, which run from June to August 2018 in Yogyakarta. Former Rector of Islam Indonesia University, Eri Suwandi Hamid, during a press conference at Prasi Mosono Building, Kepatihan Complex on Wednesday said, the idea is based on the efforts to ground Pancasila among the community. Edi moreover said the launching of the Pancasila Moon event is important to promote to respond the emergence of various threats to get other understanding in Indonesia in order to shift the ideology of Pancasila. To counter it, the noble values contained in Pancasila ideology must be implemented in a real movement and able to touch the younger generation. Listener, that was news from across the country. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well listener, we start for anyone on June 9, 1959, when George Peace, the world's first nuclear ballistic missile submarine, was launched. The USS George Washington, SSB and 598 is the first nuclear-powered submarine with ballistic missile weapon. In the era of Cold War, the United States of America and Soviet Union had competed to develop various kinds of the main tools of nuclear weapon system. The United States of America was successful to operate various moderate nuclear weapon system at the time. One of them was the George Peace submarine. The George Peace has begun to be designed since December 1957. And its frame has been finished a year later by manufacturer of General Dynamic Electric Boat. But U.S. George Washington SSBN 598 was just launched on June 9, 1959. And the next event was in 1967 when Israel conquered Golan Heights land. Golan Heights land is a headland at the border area of Israel, Lebanon, Jordan, and Syria. Earlier, this territory belonged to Syria, but Israel seized Golan from Syria on June 9, 1967 in a Six-Day War, or Arab-Israel 1967 War. The war was between Israel and the affiliation of three Arab countries, namely Egypt, Jordan, and Syria. The three countries also received active assistance from Iraq, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Sudan, and Algeria. At early Yom Kippur 1973 war, Syria succeeded to seize again, but counter-attack Israel succeeded to repel Syria from most of Golan Heights land. On Golan Heights land, there are hills where Arab-Israel war was seized, such as Hermon and Booster Hills. The two hills were observation center of Israel, which was known with Eyes of Israel. And the last event was in 2004, Husein Mutahar passed away. Mutahar is an Indonesian composer, especially for national and kids' songs. His song, which is popular, is Hymn Syukur, which was provided to welcome the independence of Indonesia that was expected by him almost to be reached. The song was sung by the first time in January 1945 at Gedung Agung Yogyakarta Palace. His last word, Dirgahayu Indonesiaku, became the official songs of anniversary of the 50th Indonesian independence. Kick songs of his word were like a Gembira, Tepuk Tangan, Mari Tepuk, and Pramuka. Mutahar is a founder of Indonesian Scout Movement and a designer of National Flag Forces. The team consists of students across Indonesia. He has the sign of Bintang Mahaputra for saving the Heirloom Flag from the hands of the Dutch occupation of Yogyakarta. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with daily segment My Indonesia, which today is on Indonesia explores maritime cooperation with Greece. Indonesia presented maritime potential to a number of international businessmen in the 2018 Posidonia exhibition in Athens, Greece, from June 4 until 8. Indonesia's participation in the event was part of cooperation between the Indonesian Embassy in Athens and the Indonesian Central Executive Boards of the National Ship Owners Association, or INSA. As stated by Chairman of INSA, Carmelita Hartoto, in a press release received in Jakarta on Wednesday, the embassy and the association opened the Indonesian pavilion to showcase the best repertoire of domestic maritime business. The International Shipping Exhibition Posidonia is an exhibition that has been running for 50 years. Participants and visitors of this international maritime business, such as owners of shipping companies, ship agencies, maritime equipment industries. The International Shipping Exhibition is followed by more than 101 countries with over 1,800 participants and is expected to suck up more than 20,000 visitors. The exhibition features ship products, shipyards, ship registration, classification bodies, seams, insurance, finance, sport, and various other products and services. Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras opened the exhibition and spoke with Indonesian Ambassador to the Greek Republic, Ferry Adamhar, and Chairman of the INSA, Carmelita Hartoto, in the Indonesian Pavilion. Alexis Tsipras expects a maritime relationship between the two countries that are stronger and mutually supportive. According to Carmelita, the potential of maritime sector cooperation between Indonesia and Greece is quite open. Moreover, President Joko Widodo has launched Indonesia as the country of the world maritime axis. Of course, cooperation with the world's major shipping players will support the realization of Indonesia as the country of the world maritime axis. At this exhibition, the Indonesian Pavilion gets visitors' enthusiasm. In fact, many were interested in investing in cooperation and are also eager to try to find partners to build ship spare parts factories. This is a positive value for eroding the dependence of ship parts required to stop importing. In the sidelines of the exhibition, Ambassador Ferry Adamhar and the INSA delegation also had a meeting with the Vice Minister of Transportation and Housing of Hong Kong, Raymond So Wei Man. Their discussions were about the potential of cooperation in chartering, financing of shipbuilding, and inter-island vessel development. Related to international sea freight forwarding and informatics technology to improve ship infrastructure in Indonesia. That was my Indonesia over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Here is news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo has admitted that he will prepare time to accept Indonesian Corruption Eradication Commission KPK after Idul Fitri. Indonesia is officially elected as a non-permanent member of the United Nations Security Council for the period 2019-2020, representing the Asian Pacific region. Indonesia must carry out five agendas after being elected as non-permanent member of UN Security Council for the term of office 2019-2020. This was affirmed by Professor of International Law at University of Indonesia, Hikmahanto Juwana, in Jakarta on Friday. Indonesia, Malaysia, and the Philippines will hold joint military exercise in Kalimantan in a few weeks to come. The military exercise is to complete regional excellence, which has agreed by the three countries. This was affirmed by Minister of Defense Ria Micharacudu to media journalists after releasing Go Home program of State Defense at Defense Minister Office in Jakarta on Friday. The Embassy of Republic of Indonesia in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia has an educational program for the children of Indonesian migrant workers who work in the fields, gardens, and factories. The program is called Community Learning Center, CLC. Indonesia Ambassador to Malaysia, Rusdi Krana, said that this program provides an opportunity for school-aged children to get education. The release of the National Agency for Counterterrorism, BNPT, on seven universities allegedly exposed to radicalization must be followed by increasing the program of deradicalization. This was found by the expert of modern Islamic thought of the State Islam Institute of Islam, Palu Central Sulawesi, Professor Zainal Abidin, in response to the BNPT release in Palu on Friday. Education of the nation character for the young Indonesians need to be encouraged again in a bid to be able to cope with radicalization that has infiltrated the level of university and other academic community. This was affirmed by Chairman of UNADRI, Andi Angga Kusuma, in a statement in Jakarta on Friday. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 95.5 kHz, you can also listen to audio streaming www.voi.co.id. Listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to food which is easily found in Banten in the month of Ramadan, namely Ketan Bintul. Stay tuned! Listener, hunting for iftar menu becomes an interesting activity in Ramadan. In Banten, there is a tradition which has been conducted since the 15th century, and this is difficult to be forgotten, namely by presenting special food when breaking the fast with Ketan Bintul. For Banten people, the existence of Ketan Bintul in Ramadan is a main part which cannot be separated. Even in Banten, there is a proverb which has ingrained without Ketan Bintul in Ramadan, like does not fast. Listener, according to the history, Ketan Bintul was favorite food of Sultan Maulana Hasanuddin, namely a prince who became a role model of the people of Banten Kingdom at that time. Whereas, the food was typical food of common people and was considered too simple for Sultan. Because a Sultan had high moral character and always became a role model for his people to love Ketan Bintul. So since that time, it has become culture if someone breaks the fast by eating Ketan Bintul to honor the Sultan. Listener, for Banten people, especially Serang, who have many families and relatives, are accustomed to making their own food. They sometimes use sticky rice for their harvest. Definitely, this is to give typical treatment to the guests and families when breaking the fast. Ketan Bintul is made from sticky rice which is steamed. To get savory flavor, when steaming the sticky rice is mixed with grated coconut and a little bit salt. After well done, the sticky rice is put on a container. In the past, the container was from X rice sack which was made from plastic. And it was laid on the floor. Thus, the hot sticky rice is pounded smoothly by using wood pestle whose tip is covered with plastic to avoid being sticky. To pound the sticky rice needs great power. It should be noted that the sticky rice should not lose its hot, so when being pounded, it can be refined and softened quickly. It needs speed, accuracy, and understanding where the part is not pounded yet. To pound the sticky rice is needed at least two persons, one for pounding it and another for turning again and again the sticky rice in order to get good result. After it is refined, it is formed square and wrapped by using banana leaf in order to be durable and still looking white. Listener, after the sticky rice is done, grated coconut is provided and it is fried without vegetable oil.
If grated coconut is getting brown, this is pulverized until smooth, and then it is added with sugar and salt. To arouse appetite, it is added red chili, which is slight small and elongated. Fried red onion is also given. Towards breaking the fast, the ketan bintul is served by spreading fried grated coconut slices of red chili and fried red onion, while being accompanied by a glass of sweet tea or coffee. Surely, this typical food is able to relieve hunger and thirst after all day fasting. In Ramadan, you can find ketan bintul vendor as long as outskirts of Serang Old Markets. That was our segment, Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Putri Safitri Adela. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for still being with us in Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia or to our email address english@voi.co.id or to voi.english@gmail.com. Listener now, let's listen to Miscellany.
Miscellany. Miscellany on Indonesia. A segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia including art and culture, customs and tradition, environment and technology, even lifestyle. Today we are going to talk about Marine Parade in Ende, Flores. Every June the 1st is commemorated by Indonesia as the birthday of Pancasila, the state ideology. The exiled city of Bung Karno in Ende, Nusa Tenggara, has two special events commemorating the Pancasila Day, namely Festival of National Champ Parade and Soekarno Month. The event were held together with Indonesian Wonder Festival from May the 20th until 31st, and its peak on June the 1st. Soekarno Month began on June the 1st until 21st. Historically, Soekarno, the first president of Indonesia, was exiled by the Dutch colonial government in the town of Ende, East Nusa Tenggara, for 4 years. Soekarno arrived in Ende in February 1934 on board of Jan van Riebeek and left the city in February 1938 with KMKK ship belonging to KPM to Surabaya, and they considered by the Dutch as the right place for Soekarno to be isolated from political activities. In addition, it will also disconnect communication with his comrade in arms in Java. In Ende Island, there is no means of infrastructure for that. To commemorate the arrival of the first president of Indonesia in Ende, the Ende District Government, in cooperation with the East Nusa Tenggara Tourism Office, organized the Sea Parade on May the 31st, 2018. The parade was held in the form of a ship of KRI Teluk Ende 517 containing plaque symbol of Garuda Pancasila and Bendera Merah Putih or the red and white flag from Ende Island to Soekarno Port. The parade of ships, accompanied by hundreds of boats and small motor boats, was greeted by thousands of people waiting in the port of Soekarno with a number of ceremonies like traditional cultural nuances of the local community. ¶¶ According to Regent of Ende, Obaldus Toda, the Marine Parade is a symbol of Sukarno's arrival, reiterated that Ende is part of Indonesia's self-identity. Because of this land of Ende, that Pancasila was initiated by Sukarno through his deep reflection during his exile in Ende. Obaldus Toda added that the event also gives a message and invitation to all elements of the nation in order to maintain Pancasila as the nation ideology which has united various ethnics and cultures of Indonesia. Of East Nusa Tenggara Provincial Tourism Office, Marius Ardi Jelamo, said that the Marine Parade was held as a symbol of Sukarno's journey on board of the Dutch East India's government ship from Jakarta to Ende at that time to go on exile from 1934 to 1938. Separate activity aims to show to the world that Sukarno, as the nation's pioneers of Pancasila ideology, was always inspired in every Indonesian nation. Marius explained that the event is held regularly every year to welcome Pancasila Day on June the 1st, as well as initiate a series of activities of Sukarno Month in Ende, declared by the provincial government since 2016. Besides as an effort to keep Pancasila values, this national tourism is also an important event to attract tourist flow to East Nusa Tenggara, especially to Ende, which is also famous for its Lake Lemutu, which is known worldwide. That was today's edition of Miscellany featuring Marine Parade in Ende Flores.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Putri, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present you some Ramadan songs. To initiate our segment, Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Seluruh Nafas by Chandra Malik. Enjoy the song!
Bila kau sebut nama Allah, sayangnya pun menyatu, denyut nadi dan darahmu tiada yang kau rindu dan kau cinta selain Allah. Bismillah sebut nama Allah dengan nama
Listener, you've just listened to the first song entitled Seluruh Nafas by Chandra Malik. The song was released in the album Kidung Sufi in 2018. Its lyric mentions if name of Allah is continuously mentioned, so His love will always accompanying us. Chandra Malik has been well known as a Sufi, literature, journalist, religious singer, and even educator of boarding school in Central Java Province. The next song is presented by Camila, a trio of vocalists and violists consists of Ava, Mia, and Anna. Without singing romantic songs anymore, Camila released religious songs in 2016, entitled Maha Rindu. By being accompanied with pop rhythm, a song with the title Maha Rindu mentions that hatred only brings about disaster. Meanwhile, only God, the Almighty, is able to give peace in human heart. Even the wounded souls will miss the divine and His guidance. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Maha Rindu, sung by Camila. Enjoy the song!
Takkan tergerak hati ini meski dipaksakan. Berjuta celah kan dicari untuk membenarkan. Mata tertutup, hati pun membuta, gelap seolah tak bercahaya. Tak akan ada jalan yang lurus bila lahir dari benci. Dan hingga tiba suatu masa kan datang cahaya damai, hidayah ilahi ketika alam kan bersabda, madu mengagungkan segala kebesaran asma Allah. Kau maha cinta, maha rindu di dalam kalbuku. Jiwa-jiwa yang terluka
present the next song from Ungu Band. Besides being romantic pop singer, Ungu is also well known due to the religious songs. One of them is Doa. Like its title, Doa contains a prayer of a follower to Allah. The prayer is a request in order to be given direction for the implementation of the repentance. The last song is sung by Sarah, entitled Lillahi Ta'ala. My Sarah Nur Zaka, or famous with the name Sarah, is well known through singing competition at National Private Television in 2014. Before releasing her first album entitled Awakening in 2016, Sarah focused to complete her study. One of her songs entitled Lillahi Ta'ala tells about a follower who says gratitude to Allah. She begs to be given his blessing and she surrenders in every her breath and step to Allah. To conclude our segment, Music Corner for today, let's listen to the following two songs entitled Doa, sung by Ungu, and Lillahi Ta'ala by Sarah. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Tuhan jamahlah hatiku yang kering dan hampa tanpa kasih. Atas kuasamu ku terlahir dan hanya padamu ku kembali.
Jalan panjang hidupku. Ibrahim.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's sounds.
Siapa-siapa, hanya sebutir debu. Limpahi hamba rahmat-Mu, terangi jalan hidupku. Sinarilah dengan cahaya-Mu. Setiap nafas hamba, setiap langkah hamba, segalanya lillahi ta'ala. Setiap nafas hamba, setiap langkah hamba, segalanya lillahi ta'ala. Lillahi ta'ala.
Andaikan diriku bisa seperti yang lain, yang kau sayang, yang kau rindukan, yang kau cintai. Tanpamu aku lelah, aku sungguh tak berdaya. Tolongku, tolongku, ya Allah. Setiap air mata berarti, setiap derai tangis membasahi. Allah jangan tinggalkan aku lagi. Aku sayang Allah, aku rindu Allah, aku cinta Allah.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.